know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K24. It's myself, Mo Mutsi, alongside me as always, the three-time NBA champion. Zero-time play-in champion, though, because that wasn't a thing. They just had to qualify for the playoffs the real way. But here we are. The first night of playing games has concluded. Myself and BJ are here to break it down for you. And as much as I want to talk about the end of the Warriors dynasty, as they just lost to the Sacramento Kings, we got to start with the Lakers and the Pelicans. Yes. In what was a nail-biting finish.
Yes. BJ,
you know me. I've always been a believer in Zion Williamson. Yes. While the rest of the world was criticizing him and going at him, I said, don't worry, I got faith in the kid. And tonight showed that 40 points in a fantastic performance. And he left the game with 3 minutes to go with an injury, which is a very sad story of his career so far. And I'm very confident that if he had stayed in, the Pelicans would have won. They ended up losing 110 to 106 to the Los Angeles Lakers. What was your biggest takeaway from that game?
Well, you know what? I've said 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I was very high on the Pelicans this year, as you know, and I stated that, and something happened about 2 or 3 weeks ago where I told you, I think on air, and I know I mentioned it to you off air, where I, you know, you just got to call it like you see it. Something was wrong with this team. I don't know. Like tonight, Brandon Ingram didn't finish the game. Yeah, I don't know what's going on down. I don't know. It's kind of like a mystery to me.
It's not a mystery to me.
Yeah, I don't know. But so I'm just gonna say this. I love their talent. I love their team. You know, Willie Green, that's my Detroit guy, but something is going on down there that's just something doesn't seem right. And I don't know, like tonight, they were down, what, 18 points or something like that?
Yeah, they were down 18, and they got it to a tie game with 3 minutes to go.
Got it to a tie game. But, I mean, you're at home, okay? If you're on the road, I could, okay, you know, you got a rough start or a rough patch on the road. But you're at home, and you're down 18. And it just doesn't add up for me. So I'm not surprised that they lost. I picked the Lakers in this, and, you know, I thought the Lakers played well. I mean, they came out shooting the ball exceptionally well. Well, D'Lo did, and they just was able to hang on to the win.
Well, for me, it's crystal clear now. Okay. If you want to maximize Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram, as talented as he is, isn't the co-star you want next to him, because Brandon operates primarily in the mid-range. And when he's out there with Zion, the spacing just isn't ideal for their individual skill sets, respectively. Now, Brandon Ingram, obviously coming off this injury, might have been part of the reason why he was playing limited minutes. But watching the game, the best lineup that the Pelicans put out, and when they did their most damage, was when you surround Zion Williamson with defenders that can shoot. Trey Murphy, Herb Jones, Alvarado, who I want to talk about a little bit, and Larry Nance Jr., because that gives the space on the floor necessary for Zion to bully his way to the rim. Even against Anthony Davis, who some people say is one of the best defenders in the NBA, you let that man go to work, he's going to cook any defender you put in front of him and use his strength and athleticism to overwhelm them and get to the bucket. When Brandon's out there, Brandon Ingram at times is a little bit indecisive off the catch. There's a lot of times he'll catch on the three-point line. It should be a catch and shoot. Instead, he's looking to break down a defender with dribbles, get to his spots in the mid-range and pull up. And as great as he is, I don't think he works with Zion Williamson. But the biggest glaring thing to me is CJ McCollum on this team. BJ, CJ McCollum had an absolutely horrendous performance. Let's look at his numbers. 4 of 15 from the field. 1 of 9 from 3. Minus 17, a team low for CJ McCollum. The only thing worse than CJ McCollum tonight was Reggie Miller doing the commentary on the game, because that was horrendous too. CJ McCollum is not a big game player. Every time we've seen him in these playing games, he has absolutely stunk up the joint. The Smoothie King Center, the smoothies in there have all expired thanks to the one and only CJ McCollum. They got to replace the stock tomorrow, because he is not the guy you want at the guard position on this team. You saw that when Alvarado came into the game and you finally get a real point guard who's facilitating. CJ McCollum, not the guy. Big game situations. Remember that game when he was with Portland against Denver, 2-2 in the series? Game on the line, he steps his foot out of bounds. He's not a big game player. That's my takeaway from this. And if you want to maximize Zion Williamson, go and get a real point guard. Get a different star next to him. Brandon Ingram ain't working. And CJ McCollum for sure is not working. And that's the reason why the Pelicans lost. And they stay alive and play the Sacramento Kings, who beat the Warriors. We'll talk about that game later on. But the Lakers advance to get the number 7 seed, where they will face the Denver Nuggets. Now, you are a big fan of CJ McCollum, but you are also the guru of the point guard position. So when you look at this team, do you think there'd be a better place to move on from CJ?
Well, you know, Mo, I'm big on finding the chemistry that works. And, you know, when you look at the team and you see how they play, you know, they have really good players. And that's why it's so hard to, for me as a fan, to accept that they're losing in the fashion in which they're losing. I mean, Valanciunas, I think the big fella is, you know, he's more than capable as a starting center in this league. Brandon Ingram, Zion, you know, Herb Jones, CJ McCollum. You know, what's missing with this team? And, you know, Mo, I'm big at that. You know, you said the point guard guru. I'm big on guards who can play downhill. CJ McCollum, what he does exceptionally well, because he does something exceptionally well, he can catch and shoot. But now he's being forced or asked to do something that he's clearly not a lead guard. I mean, he's not a facilitator. He's not an organizer. And he doesn't do that naturally. But he's a very good player. But with this group and the way you play, especially today, you have to be able to play downhill. And that's not what he does. So I think it's a matter of them figuring out what they can do to bring this group together. They have some nice pieces. I mean, I really like their talent. I really do. But it's clear to me that they need to find the right chemistry with the group. You know, maybe one of those guys moves to the bench. Maybe they bring in someone else to start or what have you. But clearly they're going to have to find a way, because this isn't a talent issue. I mean, Mo, this is a team where you have a number of guys that's capable to getting 20, 30 points in a playoff game. Brandon Ingram, you know, I know you just, you know, what you said about Brandon Ingram. However, I take Brandon Ingram in a second. I think this guy is fantastic as a player.
When so he's do I. Healthy, so do I. I'm just talking about the fit with Zion. In a vacuum, Brandon Ingram, fantastic. But with a player like Zion who needs the spacing, not an ideal fit.
You know, I would like to propose something here, because I've been looking at Zion for a couple of years. Zion is a matchup nightmare for anyone. I mean, he had 40 points against LeBron James. You know, I don't know if people are going to say that tomorrow here, but I'm going to tell you this. I mean, he had 40 points. I mean, that was a big time effort. He's a big time player. Now, it's clear to me what Zion is and where he's most effective. When you can slash him to the basket into the post, he's unstoppable. And what he does incredibly well, he does a couple of things incredibly well. One, he can play in tight spaces. And two, his second and third jump is as impressive as his first jump. And his first jump is over 40 inches. But mm-hmm. he can repeat that. Now, why they have Zion playing the point guard position is beyond me. To me, that's the whole issue.
Because they don't have a point guard.
Well, okay, that's fine. But you can't tell me that it's not obvious what he is. He should be slashing and dominating from the post. He commands and should demand a double team, and then you play from there. So I don't know how many teams actually plays with a point guard in today's game anyway. Okay, everyone keeps promoting this is, you know, a positionless league, and then we want CJ McCollum to play the point guard position. Well, okay, I don't know who has a point guard. I mean, Chris Paul might be the last point guard left, you know? I don't know who's a point guard. The team that finished the top seed in the Western Conference, I don't think they have a point guard. You know, is Shea Alexander a point guard?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, is he a point guard? Yeah, I mean, I don't
he's
know.
He's a point guard who scores a lot. He's still a point guard. I'll take him over CJ at the point guard position in a heartbeat. That's not even a discussion.
Well, when I think of a point guard, I think of a guy who passed first.
Well, they don't
Passed
exist
first.
anymore.
That's what I said. I don't, that's why I said I don't think they exist. So do I think Shea is a lead guard? Yes. CJ McCollum could be a lead guard. However, I think the balance and what they're doing is off. Okay. I just think the balance is off because I'm going to utilize, and I would like to make the suggestion that I think it was best served for a kid like Zion to catch the ball on the post, on the move. Who can guard him? I mean, he was doing this against Anthony Davis and LeBron James.
Okay. But so say we do that. And so you've got Brandon Ingram, what, standing on the 3-point line?
Okay.
Because the defender's
Okay.
going to help off if they know
So
he's not going
let
to catch
so
and shoot
okay,
straight
so
away.
let let okay, let's so let now let's go, let's get into the coaching. Okay, we're gonna find combinations. If Zion and Brandon Ingram, for so whatever reason, we determined that they can't play together, there's 48 minutes in a game. All right. Normally guys will play 8 to maybe 10 minute spurts. You mean you tell me you can't stagger that out where you always have one of those guys on the floor for a full 48 minutes? I mean, Mo, this is the NBA. This is like these guys. There's creative ways to figure out how to put combinations on the floor. Just because you have starters and maybe the combination doesn't work, you can figure out how to stagger the minutes, right? If Zion anchors the second group, if Brandon Ingram has it going early or vice versa, that's what you do when you have talented players. You figure out how to play together. So why am I concerned about whether they complement each other? When I have two guys, not one, I have two guys who are capable of getting over 25 points a night. I can
You can
figure
do
this
that,
out.
right? But so when you get to the closing, let's say the last 5 minutes of a game, right? Both guys are healthy and out there.
Yeah.
If they're not optimally positioned to play together, it doesn't matter how
Why
you spread them out on the
are
floor if
they
it's a close game.
why can't they play together? Like what's the
Because we've
problem?
seen we saw it firsthand tonight that Zion plays better.
Well, this is not the only. Okay, I'm suggesting that maybe we can run different sets to put players on the floor that will actually complement maybe something else they do well. So, for instance, Zion is playing at the top of the key. Well, if you're going to play Zion at the top of the key, the first thing I would do is a defensive. If I was defending that, is I would sink in.
That's what they
Because
did.
Zion, yeah.
Is
So
he going to shoot that three?
I think it's possible that we can actually do something different to get ball movement, player movement, to get the ball where they're most effective. I don't think Zion. I happen to not agree. I'm not criticizing the staff of New Orleans, but I happen to think that Zion is most effective receiving the ball below the free throw line with a live dribble, more so than giving him the ball up front and allowing him to be, I don't know, some version of a point forward. I don't know what that is. Now, I know we play this game called pace and space. However, I have a guy who is unstoppable on the box. I don't understand that. I just happen to think that we could utilize him a little different. So a lot of times you can agree to disagree with the offensive sets and how players are being utilized. But certainly, I don't think it is in anyone's best interest to trade a player like Brandon Ingram, but I could be wrong. But I'm certainly not going to give up a guy who can get me 25 points a night, who's been an all-star in this league, because I've determined that the only way to utilize Zion is a point forward. No, I'm not buying that. This guy is what, 6-something, 200 and whatever he is, and that's the only thing I can do with him? No way. Like, I got to figure this guy can do. This guy can do so many things talking about Zion. Why just put him at the top of the floor where the defense can just sink? He's not a three-point shooter. It doesn't, I don't agree with
Because
it, is what I'm saying.
they did that tonight and he got 40 points. If you
That's
put
what
him on
I'm
the top of the floor
saying.
and you think of, okay, cool, he can build up a head of steam and attack the hoop, but he can only do that if there's enough spacing for him on the court.
Well,
So
why?
they're gonna,
Okay,
so here's what they have to do.
I
Here's what they
can
have to do.
agree.
Either they commit to the coaching that they have, right? Either they commit to the coaching and what the coaching staff want to do and how they want to play. And if they are committed to that, they have to get the optimal lineups to put it around him. On the other hand, You can change. You can either tell your coaching staff to change what they're doing or change your coaching staff and make it work with these guys. But doing this for another season is not going to work.
Okay. So this is what I will say. I've never seen a player who is great at one thing and then we're asking him to do another. Now, I don't understand this version of the NBA, but I've been saying this for years. I don't comprehend the five out offense. I have a player who will command a double team, and I'm trying to run a five out offense. Help me understand. So I got Tim Duncan, and I'm gonna say, well, I'm gonna give Tim Duncan the ball, and now I'm gonna provide space.
Tim Duncan didn't have the athleticism that Zion has. He's a different player to Tim Duncan.
Athleticism has nothing to do with a matchup. Either you can get by your guy or you can't.
And he was getting by his guy from the perimeter to the hoop. He got 40 points out of it.
Okay, great. He got 40 points out of it. I happen to think that's not the best version for the team. There's the individual game, and then there's the success of the team.
Okay, let me ask you this. Let me phrase it differently. What I'm saying is to build a team that's best suited to the needs of your best player. And what you're saying is to adapt how you play to fit your second best player.
No. Okay, Mo. Let's break the game down into its purest form. Great players can only play from two spots on the floor. Okay? Here's a fact of the game. Great players can only play from two spots on the floor. And it is my job as a coach to give my best player an opportunity to pass to the other four players at any given moment, especially in critical moments. That's why the best player always plays from the box, because we've determined since the beginning of this, when basketball started, that place on the box, left or right box, is one place on the floor that you can actually get the proper spacing on the floor, 18 to 22 feet away from all the other players on the floor. That's the only place where you can see, and he can visually see where the double team is coming from, and we can make the appropriate moves to create the perfect spacing on the floor. That's one space.
I agree.
On the floor. Okay. No, it's not even agreed. This is just what it is. And then the second place on the floor is at the elbows. That's the only place on the floor where you can't be double teamed.
Yes.
So you have a player, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, that can play from both spots on the floor. Now, he's not like a Karl Malone, for instance, who could just play from the low post. Zion is capable of catching the ball on the pinch post or the box and playing through him because he's a willing passer. And he will command a double team.
Yes. So double team comes. He pings the ball to Brandon Ingram. Catch and shoot, but he doesn't catch and shoot. He takes his time to think about what he wants to do. Okay. Then he puts the ball on the floor and goes to a mid-range fadeaway.
Okay.
This is what I saw.
But Okay. Again, when my job is to put the players in the place where they can best operate. So for instance, if Brandon Ingram, who for some reason we don't think he can shoot now,
It's not that he can't shoot. It's the speed of his decision making and his willingness to shoot the three ball. It's not that he can't shoot them.
Okay, that's fine.
That he averages 1 3 a game.
Okay, so he's the dive guy off the double team.
So you want to just turn him into a slasher then?
Mo, I'm going to make sure that I dictate what's going to happen on the offensive end. I have a player that's going to get double teamed. I have a player that will, you got to make a decision. If I have a player that is going to command a double team, then it's my job to put the other players in the position to succeed. And you can't tell me that this guy can't play advantage basketball, 4 versus 3, 3 versus 2. He demands the double team. I am willing to take a chance on great talent. I think both of those guys are great talents. Now, it is possible, but I could be wrong, and I'm okay with being wrong. I just happen to think very highly of both of those players to say, I'm not ready to give up yet on 25 points a night from both players just because I want a guy to be a spot up 3-point shooter. No, I don't.
They've
no,
got
I
to make their decision because Brandon Ingram's contract expires next year. So either they extend him or they look to move in a different direction. But the Lakers won this game. You know, they had a rough shooting night from LeBron, 6 of 20 from the field, 1 of 5 from 3. Anthony Davis, he ended up finishing with 20 points, but he was 6 of 16. He didn't have the best scoring night, but he was huge on the boards with 15 rebounds. The Lakers, as usual, in typical Lakers fashion, finished with 14 more free throws than the Pelicans. They got to the line 29 times, and they move on to play the Denver Nuggets, who will break down that series just before their series tips off this weekend. But the other game that happened tonight, BJ, we were both wrong. The Warriors did not pick up the win in Sacramento. The Sacramento Kings led by a revenge game. Not led
revenge
by,
game.
It was a play revenge in game.
Play-in gets a revenge game? Okay.
But they were all really right. Led by Keegan Murray's 32 points. I was talking to our good friend Jack, our resident Sacramento Kings fan, before the game. And I said, if Keegan Murray gets off to a hot start, the Warriors could be in trouble. And what did he do? He starts off by drilling 3 threes. He finished with 8 of 13 shooting from deep, 32 points. De'Aaron Fox had 24 points to Montrezl Bonus, 16 points, 12 rebounds, and 7 assists. And Harrison Barnes, 17 points as well. A fantastic, fantastic team performance. And the star player for me was Keon Ellis, who played superb defense on Stephen Curry. And he knocked down a bunch of threes in order to finish the game with 15 points. A real gem that they found. Mike Brown, fantastic coaching job. They didn't let Steph Curry get any breathing room from behind the arc. If you're looking at the Warriors and what happened with them, Steph finished 3 of 7 from downtown to finish with 22 points, which is low by his standards. Klay Thompson, zero from 10, 0 from 6 from downtown in what could potentially be his final game as a member of the Golden State Warriors. Draymond Green, 12 points, only 3 rebounds, 6 assists. Andrew Wiggins had 12 points. Kuminga, bright spot off the bench. Kuminga and Moody, 16 points apiece. They really got Golden State back into it before halftime. But what were your thoughts watching what could be the end of the Warriors' big three?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to say this about the Warriors. And I remember saying this in my own career. And I say this anytime I see a team have extended run of success. When it ends, it always ends bad. And there's nothing else really to say. Father Time is going to catch up to us all. And you could see tonight that, you know, they've gone to the well, they've been in so many battles. They've come out victorious. They found a way to overcome and beat the odds and challenge. But now age has finally caught up with this team. They look like a team that, you know what? Yeah, they've been in a few battles and they look like this is it. That's what it looks like to me. And out of respect to this group, because they deserve a lot of respect. I mean, this wasn't a fluke. They've had a phenomenal run at it. But they're older now, and you can see that their mind still wants to do it. They still want to compete, but they just can't get it done anymore. And youth will be served in the end. And you just ran up against a team, De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis and these young guys, Keegan Murray. I mean, that's just energy running out there, and they just couldn't get it done. So the Warriors, you have nothing to hang your head down. You had a fantastic run. But, hey, everyone has been there. It hurts in the moment. But when you look back on it, this team should be celebrated. People should be saying, you know what? We were there. We witnessed a great, great era of basketball. But I think this is it. I think this was the last of their run, and they're probably going to have to make some changes here this summer, I would anticipate.
Well, I would like to start talking about the Warriors by offering my congratulations to one Mr. Chris Paul. In 2021, he declared that he was addicted to playing in the NBA Finals. Today officially marks 3 years sober for Chris Paul, as he would not be advancing to the NBA Finals. So congratulations, Chris. I'm rooting for you in fighting your addiction to playing NBA Finals. I hope next season you don't make it there either. But anyway, the Sacramento Kings.
Okay, I didn't know where that was going. That was one of your better setups. Okay.
I got you there.
And moving right along. And moving right
the Sacramento
along.
Kings, though, Mike Brown obviously was formerly an assistant coach of the Warriors. He knows a lot about his team. They played a playoff series against each other last year. He did a fantastic job in drawing up the game plan for this game. Not a great sign for the coach of Team USA. And we just recorded a great episode with Coach Brendan Sir, which you guys will be able to listen to later this week about Team USA and the roster they've put together for the Olympics. But that was a thrilling game as well. You know, the whole team in Sacramento, but now they go on to face the New Orleans Pelicans. Who have you got winning that, the Kings or the Pelicans?
I'm just going to stick with what I said about the Pelicans. Something is going on there. I think the Pelicans should win. However, I don't know the health of Zion.
It's a left hamstring injury. Yeah, I don't know if he'll play.
Yeah, so I'm going to say Sacramento regardless if he plays. I'm going to say Sacramento. You know, Sacramento, I think they've lost to this team a number of times, right?
Yeah, I don't think they've beaten them this season.
Yeah, so, I mean, they'll lose, what, 4 or 5 games in a row? I don't know if that's
the Pelicans have won their last five. They played 5 times this season, I think, thanks to the in-season tournament. They've lost all 5 of those matchups against New Orleans.
Yeah, so they're due for a win. I'm going to say Sacramento.
Yep. Well, most recently, it was April the 11th, where the Sacramento Kings lost 135-123 against the New Orleans Pelicans. So I'm inclined to say Sacramento after seeing how they performed today and Zion Williamson's injury. But it's the play-in. You never know what could happen. We've been wrong before, and we may be wrong again. But what I do know is I think it will be a close game. I think it'll be a close game. Hopefully it goes right down to the wire. And then tonight we can look forward to the Heat and Sixers and the Hawks and the Bulls. You want to give your take on any of those? Have you changed your mind after having a little bit more time to think?
Well, you know, I'm going to always root for my bullies, you know, so, you know, I'm rooting for the Bulls. And is Joel Embiid playing? Is he playing in that game?
Yeah, he should be.
He should be. Okay. I'm going to say the Sixers. I'm going to say the Sixers.
Okay. I'm going to go with the Heat for this one now. I'm going to go with the Heat for this one. Because after watching the way that the Kings got up and down the court against the older, aging Warriors, I think if you're Miami, you just want to go out there and turn it into a track meet and wear down Joel Embiid throughout the entirety of the 48 minutes. Bulls, you can tell I've not slept. It's 6:13 in the morning. Bulls, Hawks, you still rolling with your bullies?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with my bullies. I'm gonna roll with the bullies, and you know, I gotta roll with my guys. So you know, it's been a tough year for both of those organizations. So but I'm gonna roll with the Bulls. I'm gonna pick Miami and Philadelphia to advance.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. That does make sense. Yeah. Anyway, that's another episode. We'll be back tomorrow morning and throughout the entire playoffs, catching you up on everything that you missed. If you're asleep, if you didn't catch the game, or if you just want some extra insight, make sure you subscribe to the Hoop Genius podcast, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. The sun is up, the birds are chirping, and it's time for me to edit this episode, get it out for you, and then maybe potentially even get a little bit of sleep. So I appreciate each and every one of you who locks in. Hope you enjoy the show. BJ, appreciate you. And until next time,
you.
Get buckets.